Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Oh, so good. Friday, you made it. Congratulations, everybody. Way to go. 6 a.m. listeners, best of the bunch here on The Fan. This is for you.
Ah, sounds good, doesn't it?
Well, rest up this weekend. Well, no, don't even rest up. Rest up today. Because starting tomorrow, it is go time. It is playoff time in the state of Colorado. Glorious time. All right, turn this up. All right. Welcome to it, everybody. Happy Friday. Yeah, it is the long regular seasons are over. Thank God. You know, it's a bittersweet thing, you know, because when you follow teams like the Nuggets and Avalanche, Mark, good morning, by the way.
Good morning, Michael.
Is that the great thing is that you know you have contending teams. The bad news is you got to wait through 82 games to get to the fun part that we all expect and know these teams to be a big part of. And we made it. We survived the big 82, and now it's time for the playoffs. And get going. You got the Nuggets tomorrow at home against LA. You got the Avalanche on Sunday at Winnipeg. You got the Nuggets on Monday home against Los Angeles. You got the Avalanche on the road on Tuesday at Winnipeg. Both teams get a day off on Wednesday. Thursday, the Nuggets are in L.A. And, oh, yeah, by the way, we got the start of the NFL draft. Broncos on the clock. And then Friday, the Avalanche back home to play Winnipeg. And then it picks up again over the weekend. So it's go time.
This is going to be one of them no sleep times. Not a lot of sleep. A lot of late nights.
A lot of late nights. Overtime games do not get decided by wonky 3-on-3 in shootouts.
Yeah.
They play hockey.
Yeah.
Till somebody scores. So that's all right. It's all right. It's a good time.
It is a good time.
We'll get our naps in during the day. All you early morning listeners, you'll find a time to hopefully catch a few winks here and there.
You get energized too. There's a little adrenaline that's flowing after a game. That's it. That's one of the other big problems, man, especially if they're tight games. You get all kind of geeked up for it, and then you have a tough time falling asleep.
Yes, that's a great point. It's a great point.
So, anyhow.
Well, it's go time. The Avalanche finished up last night in a game that had a kind of a preseason-type feel, as Edmonton didn't send anybody to play, and the Avalanche took care of business. All their top guys. It was funny. Jared Bednar said he gave the players, some of the top players, the option of not playing. And he said they wanted to play. And I think they needed it. You don't put a lot of stock in a win like this because Edmonton waved the white flag before the game even began. But just to get some positive momentum, see the puck go in the net, have some success, hear the crowd roar, and maybe build a little momentum after kind of a rocky finish to the season.
Tell you what, second period. Ray Ferraro, who did the game, we'll have to try to get him on. Chicken Parm. Steve Levy and Chicken Parm doing the game. Really had a long kind of conversation about goaltending of the Avs.
Mm-hmm.
And how it's a fairly tight leash. So we're not the only ones, man. It's not fear-mongering. Like, everybody in the nation is thinking about, anybody who's a hockey fan is thinking about the goaltending situation of the Colorado Avalanche. And Onanen actually was, he was tight and clean post to post yesterday, man. He made one great save. Great save.
Well, you know how it works with the national announcers, that the stuff that they're talking about tends to be stuff that they got from their visit with the coach.
Right.
And maybe a couple players.
Mm-hmm.
And so for them to come out and say, you know, it's probably Georgiev's net to start, but that there's a short leash.
Yeah.
You know where they got that from.
Well, ultimately, you know, you come in, you get all the bloggers and all the article, all the guys who write articles, you know, all the beat writers and stuff. So you get this whole list of things that, that people are talking about here in the town. So you get to read those things, look at those, and then you start to ask and formulate questions to the coach. So you go into Bednar, and you know, there's a lot of people speculating about that short leash. So then they go to Bednar and they talk about the short leash or the potential of the short leash, and Bednar confirms it. You know, one thing I like about Beds, he needs the haircut. He needs to tighten up. He really does. But one thing I really like about him, in the in-game interviews, he's really candid. He's really forthright.
Oh, we're lucky. Both our coaches are really good when it comes to dealing with the media. They give us good stuff. We're really lucky. No Belichickian mumbling undertones. No, they're good.
I did notice, I don't know if it was Freudian, you said both our coaches. What about the other two coaches?
Oh, well, I mean, Sean's great. Love Sean. Sean gives great sound bites. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
It wasn't our home. What I talk with Russell about is none of your business.
That's not exactly. That's not exactly forthright.
We heard from Sean and George, the Paytons, yesterday. We'll hear from more of them. On the RamosLaw.com text line, Evans, you jinxed me. I woke up at 1:30 this morning.
Whoa.
Could not fall back to sleep. Yes, I tried Mark's trick of praying. It did not work. Luckily, I'm a tough 6 a.m. listener, so I got
Hello,
this.
Jinx.
Mm-hmm.
I slept like a rock last night.
Did you?
Oh.
I slept pretty hard last night, too.
After getting up the night before at 1:30 and not being able to fall back to sleep, Once the Avs game, you know, you knew the game was in doubt. I succumbed to the Sandman pretty quickly, and the alarm woke me up this morning. It was great.
I am one of those great where I got into bed early and, you know, put on the Avs and dozed, and then woke up and washed a little bit, and then dozed for like 30. Like, I had two good naps before I actually shut off the lights.
Oh, good.
Hey, yeah.
Yeah.
You guys ever watch Tubi? Do you guys have Tubi?
Tubi or not Tubi?
Tubi.
No, I don't have Tubi.
I've heard of that. What is that? Yeah.
Oh, my
yeah.
God. You guys got to get it. It's just a bunch of terrible 80s and 90s movies, and it's awesome.
Tubi?
Yeah, Tubi.
80s Tubi. And 90s movies.
Yeah, there are a lot of bad
like,
ones.
What it, what,
there are a lot of
like, last night, I watched this movie called Copycat. Have you seen it?
Huh. Oh, I think so. Who's in it?
It's a... hold on, I'll figure it out. But it's like a crime. It was like a crime mystery about this serial killer.
But bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like it was good because it was bad.
It's like when everyone was trying to tell me to see Footloose, the original.
Uh-huh.
And I finally saw it. I was like, wow, this is cringy.
Yeah.
It was bad. Just bad 80s. But bad, but yet, but good. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bad, but good.
Yeah.
Like horrible, sure. But like heartwarming at the same time. It's an Is It Just Me Friday, giving you the chance to get those hot sports opinions off your chest. Heading into the weekend, there is so much to react to. Talk about Nuggets playoffs, Avalanche playoffs, Broncos draft, Deion in the portal, all that stuff. Rockies breaking FAA rules, all that coming up next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
And Is It Just Me Friday, giving you a chance to get those hot sports opinions off your chest. We like opinions, we love humor, we love snark. Rogue behind the glass recommending the movie Copycat from 1995. Great cast. You're right, Copycat. Rogue. Sigourney Weaver, Holly Hunter, Harry Connick Jr., Dermot Mulroney.
I don't think Holly Hunter's hit. I don't think she hits 5 foot. She's in the fours.
She's a wee little actress.
Yeah, she's in the fours.
Yeah.
She's like 4 foot.
But spunky. Got a lot of spunk.
She's got spunk.
Yeah. So, do you hear this?
Good voice.
Do you see this story? Yeah, very distinctive voice. Is it just me or, wow, things just keep going from bad to worse for the Rockies? Never mind the fact that they're off to a historically bad start. But now video has surfaced. How dumb is this? But Hensley Bam Bam Mullins, the Rockies batting coach, posted video of him in the pilot's chair flying the plane back from Toronto earlier this season. And now the FAA is investigating. United, the airline, has...
They have to suspend the pilots,
they've
right?
suspended the pilots. The auto... You know, the autopilot was engaged, but there he is. Video.
Sitting in the captain's chair.
In the captain's chair. Flying the plane.
My goodness.
Now, something tells me on team charter flights that there have been plenty of examples, plenty of instances where unauthorized people have been up on the flight deck. Okay? In the cockpit. But my guess is nobody's been dumb enough to videotape it.
Your Colorado Rockies, ladies and gentlemen. I can honestly say in all the years, 12 years of chartering flights with the Skins and the Broncos, I have never seen in flight. Now, you know, guys go up before the flight, you know, just like when your kids are little and the captain invites the kids to look at the cockpit, right? But I have never, ever once seen anybody go up in flight. And the captains come on and go, yeah, come on, sit in the captain's chair. Fly the plane.
What could go wrong?
Yes. So I've never seen that. Now, guys aren't seatbelted. Guys are still, you know, playing cards when the plane lands. Yeah. And yes, all that. Absolutely.
People are standing up when the flight takes off. Right. Things like that. Sure.
Yeah. But for crying out loud, I guess we're not dumb enough to videotape. You know, why we're landing, guys, standing in the aisles like, let's show everybody this. But your Colorado Rockies are. Dick Monfort was probably recording. This could be a great video for us. Bam, bam. Grab the handle. Do some fly stuff.
Yeah.
You're a real fly boy.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so we'll see what comes about out of that investigation. Your Colorado Rockies, everybody. Is it just me or the Nuggets-Lakers series hasn't started yet and the Lakers are already up 20 free throw attempts?
No, that's not just you. That's just the way it's going to be. You just got to know you got to overcome that, right? That's going to be the way it is.
And I accept it. I don't like it, but I accept it. But then again, the Lakers have shot more free throws than the Nuggets. They've shot more free throws by like a few hundred, several hundred more free throw attempts than anybody else in the NBA. Like the second place team is like 300 or 400 free throw attempts behind them. It's just the way it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Just know it, accept it. And hey, despite, now remember, the Nuggets have won 8 in a row against the Lakers. In all 8 of those games, they have attempted fewer free throws.
Sure.
So, it's not cool. It's not right. It's not fair. But it is what it is. And thankfully, the Nuggets have found a way to be able to deal with it and get around it.
Yeah, so. That's just the way it's going to be. I mean, that's a foregone conclusion. They're going to be close to 2-1 on free throws. Probably a little less than 2-1. But it's going to be close. That's just the way. Man, you got, you know, LaFlop James. He's going to get, I mean, that guy just goes to the line. You ever notice how many times
Anthony Davis goes to the line a lot?
Right. How many times, like, he's not even touched and he falls back, like, literally 14, 15 feet?
Yeah, it's, I know it's a different NBA, but it's yet another thing that I put on my list as to why I just can't elevate LeBron up to or over Michael Jordan. I just...
Correct.
I never recall MJ just flopping like that.
No.
Never.
No.
On the Rumbleslot.com text line, is it just me, or are we watching the Colorado Avalanche crumble before our eyes? I hate to say this, but I could see the Avs getting knocked out like they did in the first round last year. Just has that same feeling.
Hey, man. It's not just you. I definitely could see that happening. I could see the style of Winnipeg, how big they are, how physical they are. I could see you not matching that physicality, and I could see goaltending being a problem. But I could also see the Avs going in there and, you know, playing a complete game, matching their physicality, out shooting them with skill, and winning that series as well. I can see both of those things happening.
Well, you start in this series, and the biggest glaring mismatch right now is goaltending. There's no doubt about it. The Avalanche are unsettled in goal, and Winnipeg has in Connor Hellebuyck the overwhelming favorite to win the Vezina Trophy for the best goalie in hockey this year. So, at least on paper going in, it's a giant mismatch between the pipes. Giant mismatch. I also went back and looked at the three games that the Avs lost to Winnipeg this year. Gain outscored 17-4 right, in the process. If there was one big stat that jumped out at me, it was giveaways. Giveaways. Yeah. In the three combined losses, the Avs had 30 giveaways to Winnipeg's 13. And if you've been listening to Jared Bednar, if you've been listening to the players coming down the stretch, they've all talked at times about how we've got to be tighter in our own zone. We can't turn the puck over, lead to scoring chances. Now, Bednar has said we do need our goalie at times to save us, to make those big saves. But there is also, even last night, even in a name-your-score type game, Bednar was still lamenting the fact that there were stretches where they turned the puck over. And this was against the Oilers, you know, JV team.
He talked about it in the end game in the second period. He was like, man, I was really happy with our first period, the way we played. He goes, equally disappointed in the second period. We just lost our focus. We, you know, the same stuff, giveaways, lost focus, mistakes on the way we want to play things. Like, you could tell he was irritated.
Yeah. So here we go. Nuggets, Avalanche, playoffs, is it just me? Rockies committing FAA violations. We'll hear from Sean Payton coming up as they previewed the draft yesterday. Did they say much? We'll tell you.
You know what? They're probably mad about it, though.
They're mad about it now.
We saw the FAA violations. We've heard from you, and we are mad about it.
Fan Flyaway presented by Sport Clips.
Yeah, Bam Bam's going to be traveling there. He's going to be flying you there.
That's right. Bam Bam Mullins will be flying you on the Fan Flyaway to the Pro Basketball Championship in June. Here's what you'll get on your Bam Bam Mullins flight. Two tickets to a game, round-trip airfare for two from Denver to a destination to be determined, two nights hotel, and $500. Head to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register and claim your special offer from Sport Clips. Morning Brew coming up next.
It's time for your Morning Brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
The Avalanche finished up their regular season with 107 points on the season as they finish off with a 5-1 victory over Edmonton last night. Edmonton not playing any of their top guys as they were already set with their playoff spot, but still something to play for. How about Nathan MacKinnon, who sets a franchise record? This is the Quebec and Avalanche franchise record for most points in a single season, 140 points, a mark that had stood for 42 years, previously set by Peter Stastny back in the 1981-82 season.
Wow.
MacKinnon reaches 140 points in a game that wasn't easy to play.
It was a tough game to play with. You know, they scratched all their best players, and, you know, we got a lead early and just kind of coasted from there. It's just it's challenging, you know, when, you know, all their players aren't playing. But, yeah, it's obviously going to get a win for sure.
Okay, so the Avalanche will start their playoff series with Winnipeg Sunday at Winnipeg, 5 p.m. on Altitude and ESPN2. So the games, the good news is the Avs games will be on national television.
What's on ESPN?
Probably NBA, I would assume.
Okay.
But you're on the deuce. So got a quick, I don't know, quick feeling about the Avs in this series. Avs, you picking the Avs to win? Lose? Do you need time? You don't need to. Do you need time to think about it some more?
I don't feel great about the Avs. 17-4 hurts a little bit.
0-3 against Winnipeg this year, outscored 17-4.
Yeah.
Most recently, 7-0 last week.
That skews it a little bit, though, right?
A little bit, but...
Yeah, probably more like 14-4.
It was still...
That's way better.
It was still 10-4 after the first two games going into this one, and ended up being 17-4. Next on the Morning Brew, the Nuggets getting ready to open up their series with the Lakers at home tomorrow at 6:30. Jamal Murray... He knows. He knows it might be a different Laker team than the one the Nuggets have been dominating of late.
They're going to play this year a lot better than they did last year. They have something. They have more motivation. They're a tough team. They got arguably the greatest player to ever play.
We've got ESPN on right now. What must the Lakers do to pull off the upset against two-seed Nuggets?
That's exactly how it's going
to
go.
How about what must the Nuggets do to repeat
as champions? Their championship.
How about that?
No, that's not good. We need to know what the Lakers got to do.
That's all right. It's all right. If getting attention from the national media means glomming onto the Lakers, so be it.
Mm-hmm.
So be it.
Well, we told you that's exactly the way they were going to cover it. So don't be surprised. You're not surprised.
Confidence level in the Nuggets as compared to the Avalanche.
Nuggets confidence way high.
Way high.
Way high.
Way, 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 way high.
The Avs way down. Way down.
Yeah, not... I'm not way down.
I'm way down.
More about that. I'm not way down. I'm kind of like... I do kind of like them in an... Even though they're not an underdog, by the way. They're favored to win the series.
Yeah, I know.
Which
I know.
It's funny because around here... There seems to be a Avs are an underdog feeling about it.
By the way, that's just for Winnipeg. If you've beaten a team, you're 3-0, and you've got outscored them 17-4, and Vegas says the other team is a favorite over you, wouldn't that
you think
stick in your craw a little bit?
Of a nugget like chip on your shoulder?
Yeah,
right? Yeah. I got you. Next on the Morning Brew, Sean Payton talking yesterday as we are 1 week away from the draft. Giving us some of his insight into evaluating quarterbacks.
It's funny when we bring some of these guys in or we go to the schools to visit and, you know, always finish with, hey, you know, if we take you, drop your best play. The play has to come with you. You just love this play and they'll draw it up. And then I'll say, well, how do you call it? And I'm always fascinated to hear their terminology. A lot of times they're signaling plays in.
Sean was good. He and George talked for like 34 minutes yesterday. And Sean didn't really say a whole lot. He did reference one of our listeners. And if you're out there listening right now, Tucson Tim, congratulations.
He did? What did he say?
Tucson Tim got mentioned during Payton's podcast, Payton's press conference yesterday. Sean was talking about how sometimes he'll see that he's tagged onto something.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes he'll check just to see if... whatever the report or whatever it is true or not.
Uh-huh.
He goes, then I see that it's Tucson Tim, and I, you know, then I'm like, all right, it's just Tucson Tim putting something out there, but he's right. You know, that kind of thing. So what? Tucson Tim, if you're listening.
Tucson Tim.
Congrats.
So Sean is actually reading his Twitter timeline or the X timeline.
He's out there.
Mm-hmm.
Sean sees you, people. He sees you.
He hears you.
He hears you. He sees you.
Just like the Rockies. He's not happy about it.
Next on the Morning Brew, Deion Sanders talking yesterday. You'll be hanging out with Deion again tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
Up in Boulder, going up there again for another Saturday. But Deion answering the question about how does he feel like about Shador and Shiloh, his sons, out there actively recruiting guys on their own.
Players recruit players, man. We do a wonderful job as the staff. But they got to be validated by players because they played with those players that you're talking about, either in high school at an all-star game. They know somebody that knows somebody. That's how the recruiting thing works, man, for real. It's players. They know who the dogs are and who the cats are.
If you need any more evidence that we are in a entirely brand new world of big-time college sports, the new Wild West, the rules are being made up as they go. Like... there used to be a time where the kind of recruiting you did was like super buttoned down, and there were things you couldn't do, you couldn't get away with, and the NCAA was always poised and lurking and ready to pounce. Now you got it just openly accepted. Sure. You know, potential recruits, transfer portal guys are reaching out to guys on social media, and they're saying, yeah, come on over, come on in. Here's we'd what your role will be. And
yeah, we'd love to have you.
Yeah.
But that's how it's all.
Anything goes these days.
But honestly,
or
you know,
has it just been everything? The curtain's been pulled back now.
I think it's more the curtain's been pulled back. Okay. And obviously, the world's gotten a lot smaller now that everybody can just DM one another on social media. So even if you don't have a dude's phone number, you can get a hold of him on social media. So that's how, I mean, that's how it's different. But shoot, even as an NFL player, when free agency hit, you knew the guys that were, like, you knew the guys that could play. You knew the guys that rolled into your facility. You're like, whoa, if we get that guy, because that guy's a full-grown man, you know, then that's going to really help. So, yeah, you get that. You get that part.
That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30.
Matter of fact, you know what? I'm working out in the weight room with the Skins when the real free agency first hit, and they roll in Reggie White. I pissed my pants. I was like, I mean, he ended up choosing Green Bay, but, dude, seriously.
Yeah.
That dude rolls into your facility.
Hello, Mr. White. It's good to see you. Without pants on.
That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Coming up, it's an Is It Just Me Friday. So much to react to. We'll jump into that next.
Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
This Is It Just Me Friday, giving you a chance to, just unload. Unload before the weekend as we gear up for, wow, what a week coming up with all the playoffs, Nuggets, Avalanche, draft, all this stuff happening and giving you a chance to react to it. Is it just me on the RamosLaw.com text line? Is it just me or is Mother Goose already more compelling news than anything the Rockies have done the last 10 years? Yep, Mother Goose is the goose that is outside our main door.
Yeah,
she's been hunkered down on her eggs for about 4 weeks now, the gestation period, and
I'm expecting to see some gooselings.
I would think by Monday. I'm almost wondering by the time we roll in on Monday if she might be gone. But she has not moved. I mean, she pivots, but she doesn't move.
No, she stays
she's
right
been there.
There
for
and you can see all the
weeks.
Little downy feathers underneath her and. By the way.
And you and I talk to her.
Yes.
Whenever we.
Oh, yeah.
And Dad's hanging around occasionally, and he's staring in the window, a reflection of himself, questioning himself.
Yeah.
What has he done with his life?
Right. He's in trouble.
What
right
am I going to do now?
By the way, I saw something yesterday I had to run by you, because my reaction, you know how we talked about the wave as you went, you wave, like you get in line somewhere on like all your cutting into the exit or whatever, and you give them the friendly wave. Yesterday, I'm driving down I-25, and there's a dude, sunglasses on, in a Tesla. And as I go by him, he's kind of going slow. As I go by him, he's reading and emailing a phone, no hands on the steering wheel. He's got the auto. Yeah, you know, they have the automatic drive on some of those, right?
Yeah.
That just you set it and it drives the car. The one I wanted to punch him in the face. That was one. Like, dude, you're that busy, you're that important that you gotta send some emails while your car drives.
Multitask. It's so important that I multitask.
Yeah. Oh, good for you.
And then I thought about cutting right in front of him and seeing how the car reacts. I didn't either.
Hey, Elon, you might want to know about this.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so what we found out yesterday was one of our pet peeves, or my pet peeves, is when you allow somebody to merge over.
Right.
And they don't give you the, hey, thanks, wave.
Right.
It bugs you. But then we were talking about truckers. And I thought, I was always in the assumption that they do like a quick, if you let a trucker in, they do a quick double tap on their brakes. But no, it's, we heard everything from their flashers to their running lights. They'll sometimes flash
their running lights.
But flashers, hazards, all that kind of stuff. But no, apparently they're not hitting their brakes. But they do something with their truck.
Their truck lights.
They got a lot of truck lights. A lot of lights on a truck.
Stink.
They do that to be able to thank you.
Yes, Rogue.
I'm surprised you don't have a Tesla.
Mark strikes you as a Tesla type
guy? Yes, you strike me as a Tesla guy.
Really? No. Yeah. I don't like Teslas.
I feel like you'd be like, oh, it's cool.
No.
And then get it.
No, I'm not. I'll tell you, Rogue, I'm not a stuff guy. Like, I don't collect anything. I'm not a car guy. I don't.
You're not a material boy?
No, I don't. None of that
just
stuff.
Just lawn care equipment?
Lawn care stuff. I like that. You know what I really want to get? My own aerator.
Oh, yeah. My dad has one of those.
He does?
Yeah.
Whoa, your dad's a badass. Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I'm not a car guy. And I don't really like, I mean, I've driven in some Teslas, like, you know, as a car service. They just feel tinny to me. You know, they're not quiet. The batteries are so heavy, I think, that they make the car really lighter and they don't have an engine. You know, I don't know. It's all on the floor.
What about the Cybertruck?
Huh?
Did you see the Cybertruck that Shador got?
I have no interest.
Yeah, that thing looks ugly. That's ugly.
Zero interest.
Ugly. That's ugly. Besides, Rogue, you got to know this about Stink. If it's free, it's for me.
Mm. Right.
If it's free, give me three. Is it just me or any Avs prediction is like a box of chocolates? You don't know what you're going to get. Well, thank you there, Gump. No, you're right. It's because everything on paper points to the Avs losing this series. They go 0-3 against the team they're playing. They get outscored 17-4 against the team they're playing. The team they're playing has the leading Vezina candidate for best goalie in the league. The Avs goaltending is, well, to be polite, a mess right now. You know, if we weren't living here in Colorado, I'd say Winnipeg. But, you know, I got too much respect for this Avalanche core, and they're great players, and their ability to change a game or change a series. And for that reason, I'm not going to count it out.
Yeah, it does scare me. And I go back to last night's broadcast. You're not hanging five on people in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to be a scoring fest. You're going to win a lot. There's a lot of 2-1 type of games. And in a 2-1 type of game, do you have the goaltender to actually keep you in that game? In those 1-1 going into overtime, you know, sudden death. Do you have the goaltender? And that's one of the big things that scares me about this matchup is their goaltender. I mean, they have clear advantage between the pipes.
Another one on the Is It Just Me's? Is It Just Me? Ramoslaw.com text line 303-713-1043. Guys, is it just me or I feel like Bo Nix will be a Bronco a week from now?
It's just you. No, it's not just him.
It's not.
There's
just
a lot of people.
Betting favorite as to where Bo Nix is going to end up, overwhelmingly the Broncos right now.
There has been too much smoke about Bo Nix coming here. And whenever I hear too much smoke come draft time, that seems like subterfuge. That seems like let's throw everybody else off to see if we can get the guy we want to slide to us. Let's see if we can get other people to jump up in front of us to get Bo Nix so the guy we really want falls to us. That's what it feels like.
It was interesting listening to both Sean and George Payton. Sean was asked about the idea of drafting future picks, and he downplayed the idea. He's like, hey, you know, future picks, you know, you know what the value of them are going to be. It could be 4, it could be 24. You don't know. So he sort of left the door open to the idea that
you could trade up.
That it's not so important to cling to future draft picks. Mm-hmm. And George Payton was a little bit more direct.
Yeah, I would just say if it's a player you think can change the landscape of your organization moving forward, like a quarterback, then you do whatever you take to get him. And if there's a consensus in the building, a love in the building, and you're aggressive and you try to get him, doesn't mean you're going to get him, but you try. And so we're open to everything. We're wide open.
Having listened to George Payton for the last couple of years, that one line stood out to me. The do whatever it takes. That's kind of the anti-George Payton line, isn't it?
No, we've already seen him do it in free agency with Russell Wilson. That was a colossal flop.
Well, that... Trying to give me, you know, really? That was not free agency. That was a trade.
Well,
that
trade,
was a,
same
that was
thing.
A big swing. That was a big swing. And he gave up a lot of capital.
Right, yeah. Same thing. and it didn't work out.
But that was, I can't believe I'm going to say this, that was for a known commodity, which maybe it wasn't.
Well, actually, it was for an unknown.
It was for an unknown commodity.
Because what you thought you were getting and what you got.
Or the people in Seattle knew what the commodity was, and we didn't. But
spicy.
But at least when it comes to the draft, this is a guy who we know is a, you know, he's a scout at heart. He's a guy that loves draft picks. He loves the idea of accumulating draft picks to be able to go out and find those diamonds in the rough, and for him to say, you know, do whatever it takes. I like it. Don't get me wrong. I love the fact that he said it. Just, I don't know, it just kind of struck me as
a little bit
different coming from George.
Again, the fact that he said it makes me feel like
makes me feel like
we don't really want to do it. That's what it feels like.
Four down territory coming up next.